Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
David Goffin has done it. He has forced this Davis Cup final into a deciding fifth rubber. He's about as emotional as I have ever seen him down on the court in front of me. He was emphatic today, 7-6, 6-3, 6-2 over Joe Wilfried Tsonga, who now departs the court looking pretty bereft, really. His mind was completely gone in that third set. He was complaining about the crowd noise to umpire Kiotha Fong. Pretty extraordinary scenes, but David Goffin, what a hero he's been for his country. He now hands the baton to Steve Darcy for the fifth rubber. Darcy to take on Luca Puy for the Davis Cup 2017.
I was so nervous at the end. I felt a little bit when I had the second break in the third. I felt in my body that it was tough. That's why it was love 40. And my serving game at 4-1, but yeah, I managed it really well, and it was a really good last game.
Well, you probably guessed that is the sound of a victorious French team winning the Davis Cup. Luca Puy striking the decisive blow against Steve Darcy, a 6-love final set to clinch the first ever Davis Cup title for France in 16 years. These are extraordinary, extraordinary scenes, and I've officially run out of words to describe this incredible crowd.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. You have just been hearing what has happened at the Davis Cup by BNP Paribas. Final won by France. And Catherine Whittaker is still there in Lille, still in the stadium. And it is still party time, Catherine, isn't it?
Not only in the stadium, I'm practically on the court. I am in a little sea of confetti and French flags and We Are Tennis inflatable things. There's a poor little child actually in front of me that seems to have been tasked with cleaning up the enormous quantities of confetti. The Davis Cup itself, the enormous trophy, is just feet away from me. Members of the French team are still completing their lap of honour. Well, it's about 15 laps of honour. There's still probably around 5,000 or 6,000 French fans in this stadium. There is a group of ball kids doing a conga line. I mean, it really is quite a sight to behold. This has been a Davis Cup title a long time coming for France, and they're going to milk the moment for all it's worth.
And so they should, because, as you say, a long time coming, 16 years to be precise, since they managed to win this thing. And, you know, there have been some near misses in that time. And it says a lot that they are without an Andy Murray or a Novak Djokovic type figure. They've had to do it through team spirit, through a variety of really good players, but no truly great players, haven't they? And today they delivered, because they were right up against it. David Goffin got it back level. But Luca Puy, let's just start with him, shall we? Because, I mean, the selection itself was an interesting one, because I think both of us thought yesterday that Gasquet was more likely to get the nod after the way he played in doubles and the difficult task that that Puig had on the opening day against Goffin. I mean, he took a hammering, didn't he? But today, different man.
Yeah, there wasn't a hint of doubt in his mind, although it was interesting hearing him say there after the match about how he was feeling when he could see that Tsonga was losing. And frankly, the writing was on the wall for Tsonga from pretty early on, from the very early stages of that second set. That match, which had been so hyped up, had a strange feeling of inevitability about it. And we'll come on to the heroics of Goffin in a little while, but I was waiting for the moment that Puy would blink, not perhaps lose the match, because he was obviously on form today, but I was just waiting for him to blink and think about it, you know, to envisage the finishing line, to envisage himself and his teammates holding the trophy, and it never came. If anything, he just accelerated towards the finishing line. A 6-love final set. It was almost uncomfortable, actually. There was, when it started to become apparent that it was going to be a 6-love final set, actually, when Steve Darcy stood up to the baseline, love 5 down in the third, there was this incredible moment where Johan van Herk, his captain, an enormously inspirational man, he just stood there. He was actually on the court. He stood in the tram lines and just applauded Steve Darcy. It wasn't about motivating him to make a comeback. I'm not sure anyone's ever come back from 6-3, 6-2, 6-love. 6-3, 6-1, 6-love, I think, actually. It wasn't about that. It was just about recognising the brilliance of that man, the fact that the Belgians wouldn't have been there if it weren't for him, and that the fact he wasn't able to perform today against a man ranked far above him is no poor reflection on him. And it was almost a little bit awkward because all bets are off in Davis Cup, right, with the crowds. You're allowed, you go nuts when your team, your country wins a point, regardless of how that point is won. But it didn't feel nice to hear the errors of Steve Darcy being applauded. No, I don't blame the French fans for doing it. As I say, all bets are off in Davis Cup, but this poor guy that's, you know, just performed out of his skin for his country, he couldn't do it today. He couldn't play out of his skin. He played to his ranking, which is 76 in the world, and he was playing an inspired 18 in the world, and who knows how high, if Luca Puy allows this performance, this moment to inspire him, who knows how high that ranking could go. And I think he might allow it to inspire him, because, I don't know, it's a different Luca Puy that I saw lifting that trophy, really let his emotions go. This is big for someone like him. It feels big.
Yeah, there was a moment in that final rubber of the match where Darcy was 6-3, he'd lost the first set, and it was 1-1 in the second, and there was about a 12-minute game where he was just trying to keep Luca Puy at bay, and he was saving break point after break point, including one with the most delicious forehand drop shot. He lined up the big forehand, and rather than hitting it as a big booming forehand, he just sliced underneath it. And just, you thought at that stage, and Van Herk was going crazy on the bench, and I did think, if Darcy could just get out of this game, maybe he can make this competitive. Maybe he can make Puy blink a little bit, because Puy is one of those players, when he's on a roll, he's an awesome sight, because he's just dripping with talent, isn't he? And I'm sorry, he has underachieved to this point. He's had some notable victories, but a guy of his talent, this should be not just the culmination of his career, this should be the start. This is a massive moment for his nation. It's a huge victory personally for him, and he'll never forget it. It'll always be there.
Yeah,
but
and he's
somebody so good, you know, this could be where he goes on from here.
Absolutely, and it feels so fitting to me. Incidentally, Nicolas Mahut is just in front of me with his little mini replica trophy. He received the loudest cheer of them all as he received his trophy. This crowd knew about his heartbreak. They knew how tough it was for him to sit on the sidelines during this tie, and I'm so delighted to see him able to fully enjoy this moment. He's had tears in his eyes for about the last 3 hours, I think. He's having selfies taken with the crowd. If I wasn't speaking to you, David, I'd be crying. But yeah, it felt really fitting that it was Luca Puy that that clinched the Davis Cup, that won the decisive rubber, because he has underachieved, as France have underachieved for the last 16 years. You know, Guy Forget himself, I was reading an interview he gave to a French newspaper a few years ago, saying France should have won at least one, probably two Davis Cup titles in the intervening period since their last one in 2001. That, okay, yeah, they haven't had a world number one, an Andy Murray-esque talisman, but they've had a wealth of Grand Slam semi-finalists. You know, they've had more than enough talent to win this title. And in the end, it is that depth that won it for them. These are the players, the list of players that won live Davis Cup rubbers this year that helped France to victory. Richard Gasquet, Gilles Simon, Pierre Hugerbert, Nicolas Mahut, Lucas Pouille, Jeremy Chardy, Julien Beneteau, Joe Wilfried Tsonga. And let's remember, there are plenty of other names beyond that that they could have called upon had they wanted to. There's poor Adrian Mannarino, who's had the year of his life and never even seems to get mentioned in the conversation for the French Davis Cup team. There's Gael Monfils as well. You know, it's all about the depth for France. And finally, they've made that depth tell. And if they and Lucas Pouille as an individual can use this as a springboard, then good luck to them.
And what I loved about the final point of that final rubber is the way that Pouille, when the ball went long from the racket of Darcy, Pouille just collapsed backwards and his face just crumpled in emotion. And I've seen this on a number of players when they've won Grand Slams or the biggest match win of their life. You see the focus at that point. You see what that focus must do to them in order for them to still play forehands and backhands in a sensible, logical way before the moment of actually reaching where they're trying to get to, and then it all just comes rushing out. And I mean, it was, I found that very emotional. I was nearly going, Catherine, when they showed Steve Darcy at just afterwards, and then when Yannick Noah got onto the platform to receive the trophy and put his arm round Johan van Herk.
Oh dear,
that was a bit much for me. That
was a moment. It was a moment. I'll tell you what, actually, after the TV cameras had died down and the French team was still on the court, you know, just lapping up the moment, Yannick Noah asked for the microphone to speak to. There were probably still 10, 12,000 fans left in this arena at that point. There's probably still about 4 or 5,000 here now. But he asked for the microphone and he gave the most incredible speech, completely off the cuff, you know, just paying tribute to the crowd, to his team, to the staff, you know, taking a special moment to talk about the people that aren't here today but that have helped them along the way to get to this point. And then he started conducting everybody in the stadium in a chorus of La Marseillaise, and I don't think I'll ever forget being a part of that. I felt annoyed that I didn't know the words to La Marseillaise to join in. I felt like such a party pooper that I couldn't join in, because it was quite a moment. And then after that he started sort of beatboxing. I thought it was going to develop into a full-blown Yannick Noah concert, you know. He holds a microphone and he has people in the palm of his hands. You know, people probably would have stuck around to watch a full-blown Yannick Noah concert. It was amazing.
Yeah, we've both been around him when he has done that. He does. He has roomfuls of very smartly dressed people who are used to sipping their champagne, suddenly ignoring those expectations of themselves and just getting down and having a good old party.
Pierre Hugerbert, incidentally, David, has just sprinted up the stairs next to me, run into the crowd. I think he looks like he might be about to do a bit of crowd surfing. He seems to be individually blowing air kisses to every member of this French crowd that have stuck around to support him. He's holding up the trophy. I think he's going to be riding this wave of happiness for the next year or so, Pierre Hugerbert. I mean, he's just... Oh, there's something very wonderful about seeing sort of pure joy. And Pierre Hugerbert at the moment is embodying pure joy.
Yeah, and actually his career will be interesting to follow in the future, won't it? Because, I mean, he's already been at the top of the world rankings as a doubles player. He's a heck of a singles player as well when he really puts in his back into it and puts his mind to it, isn't he?
Certainly is, yeah. And I'll tell you what, David, this tie in the end was decided by the doubles, wasn't it? Were two singles wins apiece. It was decided by the doubles, and he was the best player on the court by a country mile during that doubles. So yes, Luca Puy got the big moment, but Pierre Hugobert is a big hero of this French Davis Cup victory, and who knows, he looks to me like he's ready to milk this for all it's worth and rinse every bit of inspiration from this experience that he possibly can to me.
Well, good for him. Well, the man who had to make the decision about that doubles pairing was, of course, Yannick Noah, the man we've been talking about, the French captain. And we can hear from him. Catherine, just before we came on air to record this show, had a little chance to speak to Yannick Noah.
Yannick, many, many congratulations. There were 8 men up there receiving those mini trophies with you. This was a team effort, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, and this is like the strength of the team. We have a lot of players, even though we don't have like one of the top 5 players in the world. We have like a whole family of players, like about 8, 9, 10 guys, and they're all willing to like, you know, participate and, you know, work for each other, and it ends up with a final where, you know, we get 4 points with 4 of the players. So yeah, I think it's fair, because they deserve it, and I'm really happy. It's been a long time.
It's your 3rd Davis Cup title as captain. How does it compare to the other two?
It's really special. It's not really me. You know, it's about, you know, the family and the people who are there, you know, in times where, you know, it's not so easy. And when you get this moment, you want to share it with the people you love. And I had the opportunity, I have 5 children, so I had the opportunity to share with my 4 first kids, you know, grown-ups now. And in the meantime, I was singing for 20 years, and now here I am. And I was so happy to give it to my son. He's like 14. He was like, you know, singing all weekend. And, you know, daddy, it means a lot for daddy. And to give him the cup was my best moment.
You made some very courageous decisions before and during this final. What were you thinking during the weekend about those decisions?
Well, you know, it means so much for not only the team, but for our federation and the whole tennis world in France. You know, we didn't win a Davis Cup for like 16 years, so it meant a lot. And, you know, there's a, you know, you can call it pressure. And I just tried to be focused and try to, like, put aside all different energies that could maybe, you know, put me aside from whatever I felt. And I, you know, and luckily I'm like, I have like people around me, like my staff, like Cédric Pioline and Lolo, and they told me, listen to your heart, you know, go with what you feel. And I say, I'm the only one who feels this way. And it's very difficult, because sometimes when you make this decision, you feel a little lonely. It's kind of scary. And but what I'm asking my players is like to be courageous. So I try to be courageous. So, and then, you know, I decided to go with the team that I felt, and thank God it worked. You know, you're never too sure.
Last couple, just, I wanted to get a word from you on David Goffin, the heartbreak that he'll be feeling right now, and what he achieved for his country this weekend. He was extraordinary, wasn't he?
Oh, he was like the best player of the whole weekend. And sorry, I'm like a little sensitive, but... But what I liked is it was like the way he behaved, you know, the character that he showed, and the energy that he had. He won like 2 games, like it was like fair, you know, and square, you know, no bad feeling. He was just a great player. It was beautiful to see. I didn't want to focus too much on what he was doing, and obviously, I'm going to. See the videos, but it was he was great, you know, and I believe this weekend was a beautiful weekend of Davis Cup, and I would have said the same thing even if we had lost, but yeah, David was great, and so was the whole team, Belgium team, and the fans.
Just finally, Yannick, I know you could say glowing things about any one of your eight men, but Luca was the one to get the decisive point. What do you think this could propel him to do in his career now?
Well, I mean, you know, he has this beautiful career in front of him, and obviously they are a moment like this, playing in your hometown with all your family, like I'm talking about hundreds, friends, you know. It's so uplifting. It's really uplifting. I think it's going to really help him. The way he played the last game, which is like the most difficult thing to do in terms of like nerves, playing the last game for your country, you know, it's very tough, and he was so good. So I think he's going to like serve this wave and go on, and I really hope he's going to have the beautiful career that he deserves. He's a great kid.
Yannick, many, many congratulations. Enjoy the moment.
Thank you very much.
So there is Yannick Noah, and I think that really sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, you hear the emotion from him, but also, Catherine, the point he makes about the depth there, that I think that they get great enjoyment out of the fact that they had numerous members of the team, four members of the team, basically producing the 3 points of victory. I think it also underlines just what an incredible achievement it was from Andy Murray and Ivan Ljubicic and two or three of the players who've managed to basically single-handedly almost carry their nation to Davis Cup triumph. But when you do have a team that can pull together like they have, that is a formidable proposition, and actually France could go on from here, couldn't they?
They certainly could. Yeah, I mean, how long? But I'm reluctant to start talking about, you know, all the French players that could potentially now become Grand Slam champions, because that's been the rhetoric for the past however many years since Yannick Noah was their last male Grand Slam champion. Of course, they have players that could win Grand Slams if they deliver on their potential. I desperately hope that this can provide some kind of springboard. You know, time's running out for a few of them. Joe Wilfried Tsonga, yeah, I know he's only 31, but, you know, time is running out for him a little bit. But he's had a good year this year. I think he's fourth on the list of title winners for 2017. And, yeah, who knows what could be possible.
I wonder whether any of those players, Luca Puy or Joe Wilfried Tsonga, I wonder whether any of them will ever think, you know what, I was twice the player when I had Yannick Noah sitting on the sidelines. Whether he's up for coaching me, because, you know, this guy's won 3 Davis Cups as a captain now over a huge span of more than 2 decades. I mean, 1991, they won their first, then 1996. Here we are in 2017. I mean, that it's a heck of an achievement.
Certainly is, David. That would be the real test of his coaching abilities, wouldn't it? What can he do with David Law?
Now we're talking. Yeah, go on, Yannick. I'm ready if you are.
You're right, though. I mean, that is really where a Davis Cup captain... It's all very well, and I don't want to do any kind of disservice to Leon Smith, because, you know, there were ties in that 2015 run where he was given lemons and he made lemonade, but there were big decisions for Yannick Noah to make all the way down the line during this campaign because of the embarrassment of riches that he has. That's a very different challenge for a captain to be posed, and he wasn't afraid to put his neck on the line, and the gambles, by and large, paid off.
Yeah, well, he had to do what he had to do with Mahou and Herbert and Gasquet. That was obviously a tough situation, but I saw the parties that they were having in the locker room just moments after winning that final rubber, and you can see the team spirit. It's not put on. I mean, they actually interviewed briefly Nicolas Mahou, and he was obviously... It was a tough situation for him, but as we said in our opening show, a better guy you will not meet than Mahou, a really charming fellow, and yes, it would have been tough for him, but he's a big part of this victory as well, because he had to help France to get there. Now, David Goffin, Catherine, his achievements almost disintegrate into the ether, don't they, in a way, because he's not able to lift the trophy in the end, but he's the player at the time.
Yeah. It's not fair at all, is it? That's the cruelty of sport. He should be given a replica, one of those little replica, they're so cute, aren't they, the little replica Davis Cups. They're about one millionth the size of the real thing. Because he did everything he possibly could. He did his job and more. He was a hero for Belgium today, yesterday on the sidelines. I know he didn't play, but he made himself available to play if needed the day before, throughout the whole year, for a number of years now. And to get no change out of that, to get nothing to show for it, is heartbreaking. And it's all the more heartbreaking because it's hard to see them having a better chance than this, Belgium. And I mean, yes, I know they've defied the odds to make the finals, that they have done it all, but it really is hard now to see David Goffin ever being rewarded with the little Davis Cup replica trophy that I so wish that he could have in his back pocket. I wish they just had a little spare that they could give him, you know, a little honorary one.
We said yesterday, Catherine, after the doubles, that we didn't think Goffin would have won that doubles for them. But I still feel as though when we were saying that, there was a bit of us probably thinking, because he needed to save enough for the reverse singles against Songa. I still have that in the back of my mind now, and it's easy in hindsight, of course, but given the importance of that doubles, maybe they should have rolled the dice and stuck Goffin in.
Yeah, as Leon Smith did several times with Andy Murray, and that proved to pay off, didn't it? There were a number of times that we had sharp intakes of breath about, you know, Andy Murray hobbling around the court and having to play three best of five set matches in 3 days, but end of the day, against all the odds, Great Britain won a Davis Cup tie. So a Davis Cup title, even, not just a tie. I think it. Look, when you've lost a Davis Cup final in a fifth rubber, how can you not think about what might have been? Incidentally, it's just died down, but all that chanting you could hear up until a moment ago was from Belgian fans. There's a small pocket probably of about 300 of them, densely packed in just to my right. They've all stuck around, they're waving their Belgian flags around, and jolly good on them for doing that. Well done them.
Yeah, that's great.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Goffin, Catherine, I read a tweet that you put up, a message from your dad about whether Goffin is a contender for Player of the Year.
He's definitely a contender. He is for sure a contender. Whether he's the winner or not, I guess we'll reveal in our end of season awards. But yeah, my dad wanted to nominate him. That's the Belgians off again. I can't believe that noise is being created by 200 people. He's absolutely a contender. I texted you during that soccer match on the basis of him now, for me, turning himself into a genuine Grand Slam contender. I know he's unproven at Grand Slam level over best of five. I'm not saying he's definitely going to win one, you know. Doing it over best of five, seven matches in a row, is a completely different kettle of fish. But if he could play the level that I've witnessed here this weekend, over 2 weeks, best of five sets, he can win a Grand Slam. He is a good enough tennis player now to do that. That backhand is fearsome. It seems to get better with every match, and he's lacked the belief before. He's a different player to the guy that capitulated in Monte Carlo this year when that dodgy line call umpire intervention happened in Monte Carlo when he was doing so well against Rafa Nadal. He is a different guy. The same wouldn't happen now. He might not win the match. Playing Rafa on clay is still blooming difficult, but he wouldn't capitulate in the way that he did. He's a different guy, and how he's been able to do that in a season which has been blighted by what we thought at the time was one of the most horrific injuries we'd seen at the French Open. We're talking about a guy that that missed Wimbledon. That's
a good point.
In terms of defying expectations, I know he's got stiff opposition in the form of Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer on that front, but for me, he's in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I because of those two, I personally can't see that, but I do feel as though he is a different player right now to even the player that took to the court before this Davis Cup final. I thought he was really good at the O2, but I still felt as though he was winning those matches against Federer and Nadal and not really believing that he was doing it. The way he stepped on the court here and just announced himself and said, all right, I've arrived. I mean, he didn't lose a set. He's absolutely thrashed two world-class players in Luca Puig and Joe Wilfried Tsonga. Tsonga, who'd just beaten his good mate Steve Darcy, and it was okay, it was a competitive first set, a tiebreak first set for Goffin, but thereafter he was dominant, and I found it really exciting to watch him play like that, because he's quite a quiet fella, isn't he, and not arrogant. I mean, I think every tennis champion, any sporting champion, has to have some sort of ego, but he doesn't carry himself as if he has one. I'd like to think he will go into 2018 now with that same self-belief and presence that he had out there over the last 3 days, because that was exciting, and he could take on anybody in the world at the Australian Open and feel like he's got a good chance.
Yeah, he ought to. I mean, Tsonga didn't know what was happening to him out there. Yes, it was a close first set, and Tsonga had a lot of chances that he will rue big time, and yes, the match could have been different, but I mean, he thought that the chances would keep coming, and it was kind of only a matter of time, and Goffin snuffed every one of them out, you know. Again, like Puy, he just didn't blink. There was no moment when you were sort of expecting it to come, expecting him to doubt himself like we've seen before, and he just didn't at any stage. And that backhand, David, just like I've ran out of words for the noise in the atmosphere, I've run out of superlatives for that backhand, because how can it still be getting better as a shot? How can that be? How can it be? But somehow it is. And poor Tsonga was completely bewildered. He ran straight into press. By the time word came over around the press office that Tsonga was in press, and by the time we descended the four floors in the escalator, he was just finishing up his last of about two questions. And I saw him sprint out of the press area to get courtside immediately to watch Luca Puig take on Steve Darcy. But yeah, I mean, he didn't know what was happening to him out there. To see someone of David Goffin's stature bullying someone of Tsonga's stature is pretty amazing.
It is a fantastic performance from him, but he goes home unhappy, and that is the great contrast of any sporting contest, of course, at this sort of level. But the Davis Cup final, with all of its emotions in particular, we've heard from the French captain Yannick Noah, and it's there for all to see. Let's just hear from the Belgian captain Johan van Herk.
We didn't do it. We are disappointed, because we are, I think, we came here for the trophy and we're leaving without it. So we are disappointed, and we just missed, I think, some experience maybe in the doubles, and we missed maybe the best Steve, but I don't want to make him any regret. I think he worked so hard over the past years to get us where we are now, so it's a pity it happened here, but okay, we'll learn from it and hopefully get better next year.
At the last changeover in his match, we saw you had both hands on his shoulders. Do you mind telling us what you were telling him, if that's okay? Or
I told him that he's a great person. I admire him as a person off court, on court, and that's why I told him, even though with a lot, I think I know Steve and I know how he felt, so I wanted to say from the heart what I felt for him, as a team, I think we have to stand behind him, and that's what I told him.
Do you have regrets on this weekend, choices you made, maybe in doubles, maybe not putting David in?
No, because I think if David would have played the doubles, he wouldn't have been able to play what he did today. So we have no regrets. Maybe you always, in after matches, you have sometimes you say, like today, maybe if Steve wins the first service game when he's 40 love up and you don't let Luka get on a roll, it might have been different. If we win the third set in the doubles, it might have been different, but it's a lot of mights. And in sports, it's about results and facts, and it doesn't matter. It didn't happen, and we have to take the result as it is.
But, Catherine, overall, your impressions, your memories to take away with you from the last 3 to 4 days over in Lille, in one of the biggest arenas tennis has ever known, and I imagine pretty good ones.
Yeah, pretty good ones. My overwhelming feeling is that I wish I was French right now. I wish I was 1/8 French rather than the 1/8 Belgium. I mean, I'm completely swept up in the atmosphere and the jubilation, but I wish I could lay some claim to it myself, because it just looks the most joyful thing to be a part of for the players and for all the fans here. And the players have done a marvellous job of making the fans really feel a part of it. You know, they've almost given a piece of the trophy to all the fans in here that have swept them along on this tide of an incredible Davis Cup year. And all of those 16 years of underachievement will be forgotten now. They will be forgotten, I think. And I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Yannick Noah, whether he'll carry on as captain, whether he'll, you know, whether he'll ever recover from the party that they're all going to have tonight. I mean, lots of unanswered questions. But yeah, I think the celebrations tonight are going to be quite something.
I think they are. And Catherine, you were unable to enjoy Speed Rabbit last night. The magnificently
named piece of
which
is place. Which is not a joke. Not a joke. That is genuinely the name of an establishment that sells mainstream food. I mean, yeah. I suppose they don't have the sort of connotations that has in English, in French. But I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable, isn't it? So, apparently, well, it's quite a major restaurant chain. Quite a major fast food chain.
Yeah, so you were forced into your third successive cheese board. What culinary delights are you going to have before you head back to
the UK? Well, I don't know.
I
don't know, because the blooming restaurant was closed again last night, David. So I don't know what's in store for me. The only other eatery in the local vicinity is somewhere called Flunch. And I don't want to know what cuisine they're offering. So I don't know.
You have to go there.
I'm going to enjoy this moment and the mini croissants on offer in the press room for as long as I possibly can, and then retreat to my hotel that doesn't have an open restaurant of a weekend. Thanks very much, Ibis.
And you name check them. Very nice. Catherine, it's been lovely to have your presence in Lille. We look forward to having you back in the UK, where the Putney Exchange awaits for our end of year show, which we'll be bringing you over the next week or so here on the Tennis Podcast. We will as well, I should add, be starting our crowdfunding Kickstarter for 2018 very soon, so keep an eye out for that, because we'd like to carry the Tennis Podcast on into next year if we can, and your help was so much appreciated, and we will hopefully do you proud next year as well if we get the opportunity to do so. Catherine, travel safely back from France, and everybody listening to this, thank you for your company. We've enjoyed bringing these Davis Cup by BNP Paribas specials to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. We'll be back with more. We'll be back with our end of year special to find out who's the player of the year and various other award categories. No doubt I'll be asking for your opinions, not only on who should win these various awards, but maybe what categories we should have as well, because I do like to involve you. So thanks for listening, and we'll be back very soon. We'll speak to you then.
Hold up.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.